Andy Griffith Show, starring Andy Griffith with Ronnie Howard, also starring Don Knotts.
Okay, good morning, everybody. One of my prayers this morning was that I don't fall off of this. I've been known not to focus on my surroundings, so bear with me. But anyway, I hope you brought your traveling shoes this morning, because we're going to go back in time to the 1960s. We're going to visit Mayberry RFD. Does anybody here remember or know what RFD means? Free delivery. You got it. Yeah, I think that goes back to Roosevelt time or something, a long time ago. Anyway, the Andy Griffith Show, interestingly, had started by Danny Thomas. He had had one episode. I think someone got arrested in this little town or something. And so he was so intrigued by it that he decided to develop it into a sitcom. And it ran from 1960 to 1968. And Danny Thomas remained the executive producer the whole time. It became the epitome of simple living, or maybe wholesome living. But I want to tell you that watching it in 2015 is a lot different than watching it in 1960. One of the things that I picked up on was Andy really, to use today's vernacular, Andy really dumbed down. He overly stereotyped Southern accents and Southern grammar. And for example, everyone with a Southern accent, including me, doesn't say, "I ain't got no," whatever, you know, don't do that. And not one of you has ever heard me say, "Y'all come now." So, you know, so. But in 1960, but the show did always have a moral message, and it always showed compassion. I am going to focus on compassion this morning. I had chosen this quite some time ago, several weeks, and I didn't know at the time that my family and I would be recipients of a great deal of love and compassion. Many of you know my beautiful daughter-in-law, Lisa, lost her very valiant battle with cancer. And we've been shown so much love and compassion, and from many of you, prayers, blessings, beautiful cards, kind words. And I have learned that receiving compassion is a healing process, and through that, it opens the door to hope. So I want to thank all of you for that. And the scripture, Matthew 25, 31 through 46, talks a great deal about our actual duties of compassion. So let's see what the scripture says. If I can read it. Okay. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then will he sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to eat. Where was my place? Okay. All right. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those at his left hand, You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And may the Lord bless the reading of this word. And will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to once again gather with our church family to worship, to share, and to learn. Help us to have the wisdom to recognize the need of others and to have the compassion to assist them. Be with us in our daily lives as we face another busy week. And let the words of our mouth and the meditation in our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, this scripture, last week Pastor Bill touched on it and actually showed a depiction representing this scripture at the Sistine Chapel. Probably some of you, or probably many of you, have actually been there. But there is a direct correlation between this entire scripture and the what's called the Last Judgment at Sistine Chapel. So if you're ever interested, you can look on the internet and find out a lot about it. But anyway, that was an intro sort of to what we're talking about today. This passage is actually, it spells out reward and punishment. Those on the right of Jesus fed the hungry and met the needs of all the others. And they received a reward. Jesus is prepared for them. They didn't do it out of a sanctimonious motivation. It wasn't that they wanted to do it to look good. They saw the need and they reacted. They showed true compassion. Those on the left neglected those in need. Jesus pointed out to them that they, by not caring for others, they had not cared for him. Now, I read several theologians' commentary on this, and the indication is that these people who did not help, did not feed others, the indication is that they recognized Jesus as a man, and they would have fed him, but they didn't recognize him in other people. And that's what Jesus said to them, that he makes it clear that we are to show compassion and that when we care for others, we care for him. So that being said, I'll give you a little bit of background about living in not Mayberry RFD. Until I was about 8, I lived in a small town near Louisville, Kentucky. We later moved into the city, but that's another story. but anyway, this was not Mayberry RFD. We lived next door to a cemetery. And this was back in the day, and it was also a Catholic cemetery, where they had the very high, ornate gravestones. And my much older brother and sister and even their friends took great delight in just terrifying me with ghost stories and telling me that these gravestones came alive at night and all that. And so that they did not show much compassion or consideration, but we got through it. And then my dad was not a sheriff like Andy Griffith, but he was assistant warden at a Kentucky State Reformatory. And we had to live with retaliation some, and from like families of inmates or maybe even released inmates that had a grudge. So one night a bullet came sailing through our window, and fortunately none of us were hurt, but it just goes to show that drive-by shootings aren't new, and that life was not really simple then, It wasn't simple in Jesus' time, and it sure isn't simple now. But all in all, going back to Mayberry RFD, the Andy Griffith Show, they always put in a moral message and showed compassion. But one of the most interesting incidents that I remember, we had a three-night Aurora Borealis event. And this was before, we did not have the PBS Nova shows then. So actually, there were people that didn't have a clue what was going on. I think I remember my mother trying to explain it to me. But anyway, there was an elderly woman that was just terrified. She looked up, the sky would be, totally lit up and shooting stars. And she really thought it was the end of the world. And her 50-year-old son lived with her, and he had been tagged the town drunk. So back then, all small towns had at least one town drunk. I think in Andy Griffith, he would go lock himself up in his cell at night. But anyway, this poor lady, she would walk up and down the road, "Repent for us, repent, the end is near." Well, I believed her, I thought the end is here. So I thought that if the ghost hadn't gotten me and the bullets didn't get me, then I guess the end of the world would. So I'm still here. In looking back, I think maybe the Andy Griffith Show and shows of that era, they were a place that we could escape to each week to view life as we wished it could be, not as it is. My favorite clip from Andy Griffith's show is about Opie and a very benevolent incident. He had only donated 3 cents to a school fund for underprivileged children, and his dad just knew that he had $2.20 in the bank, and he thought Opie should give a little bit more than that. So Opie was insisting. He told him, "No, I'm saving my money. I need to buy my girlfriend Charlotte a present." And Andy just lectured him and just tried to convince him. But Opie kind of held out. So let's see what the clip shows.
"Last I remember, I was asking you to dip down into your piggy bank and pitch at least $1 into the children's fund."
"But I can't, Pa. I gotta spend it on..."
"I know. You got to spend it on your girlfriend, Charlotte. Son, I can't seem to make you understand how important it is to share what you've got with folks that ain't as lucky as you are. It just ain't nice to be selfish. You see that apple right there?"
"Yes, Pa."
"Now, that's the only one in the bowl, ain't that right? Now, suppose me and you both wanted that apple, and I grabbed it and wouldn't give you half of it. Now, how would you feel?"
"I wouldn't mind." "There's a worm in it."
"Now, that's beside the point. I'm trying to give you an example of sharing. Son, I just can't seem to get through to you how important it is that you give more than 3 measly pennies to an important charity."
"But I can't, Pa."
"That's what you've been saying, and that ain't good enough. Now, are you going to dip down and do better?"
"Pa, I can't."
"Then just march right on up to your room, right up there, right up to your room. Whoa. And don't you bother coming down for no supper neither. Not at least until you're ready to give more than 3 cents. You can just sit down up there and study about that thing." Excuse for that kind of stench. Just downright selfish, the way it is. Even young'uns ought to know better than that. Especially this young'un. Son's a sheriff, and he gives the least amount. Glad that boy's gonna make me the life of stock and man better. Just beat some..."
"Andy Taylor, will you just stop and listen to yourself?"
"What?"
"Oh, you've been talking, but you haven't been listening. Annabelle."
"Annabelle?
Annabelle Silvey. She was always afraid of what folks might think, and here you are carrying on the same way."
"Well..."
"Annabelle Silvey didn't have any faith in her Tom. And now it appears you don't have faith in your own little boy. Oh, you know what a good little fella he is. And just because he doesn't give enough to a collection, you're ready to forget all that? Just because you're afraid of what folks might think? You didn't learn much from the Silbys, did you?
Well, I just thought that I was. Didn't you hear me trying? You know something ain't be?
No, not yet. I don't.
You're as right as rain. I just hadn't thought of it that way. It's true. I know my own little boy, and he's a fine little fellow. And if he decides to hold back once in a moon, why, ain't no harm done.
Good. Now call him down for supper.
Yeah, I guess I better.
Well, that's called out than that.
You can come on down. We'll just forget about what we was talking about, and we'll have our supper.
You like me again, Pa?
Son, I never stopped liking you. You know that. And we're going to forget about raising your donation at school and about breaking into your piggy bank.
I like you, Pa,
It's all right. It's all right. You're saving to buy your little girlfriend Charlotte a toy. That's all right this time, I expect.
No, Paul.
Or if you want to take her to the movies and buy her $2 worth of popcorn, that's all right.
I'm going to buy her a coat.
After all, it's your savings and whatever you... You're going to buy her a what?
A coat. The one she's got's kind of wore out.
It is, huh?
Mm-hmm. When I asked her how come she didn't get a new one, she said because her ma didn't have enough money.
And you were saving to buy her a coat for next winter?
Mm-hmm. By then I'll have enough.
Well, Opie, you never told me that's what the money was for.
You never asked me.
It's like a kid.
Yes, I didn't.
What are we having for supper?
Well, you and Aunt B's are having fried chicken. And I'm having crud.
So if anybody needs translation on some of that accent, you can see me after service. But anyway, what Opie was cute, and there certainly was a moral lesson there. And Scripture admonishes us to show compassion by giving sympathetic concern and assistance to the sufferings and misfortunes of others. And the word compassion actually stems from an ecclesiastical Latin word, compate, and it literally transfers to suffer with. Now, we used a lot of synonyms, pity, sympathy, empathy, but when you think about to suffer with denotes so much more. And the word compassion appears 41 times in the King James Version of the Bible. And in looking at a study guide, there's lots of compassion studies, but the word is actually used only 41 times, and I've probably used it that many today. I'd like to close with this message from Zechariah 7, verse 9. This is what the Lord Almighty said: administer true justice, show mercy and compassion to one another.